Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to our show. This is Pat Sloan, American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We're at Salt Lake City for the quilt market, the spring quilt market. And today's show is all about what's going on here, what the trends are, all the fun things that are happening. And I have, two other guests besides the ones that we're going to talk to first. And I have Elizabeth Deasy and Jill Mead, who are editors for American Patchwork and Quilting. And we're going to talk about trends and what they saw, because they have been out on the floor here just checking out all the new stuff. So hi, gals. How are you?
Hi, Pam.
Great.
Good, good. So Jill, why don't you tell me first what, when you get ready for the show, coming to the trade show, do you have like a plan? Because the trade show is enormous. How do you decide what and where you're going to look at things?
We do have a plan, Pat. With so much ground to cover, so many people to see, so many new products, we need to come into it knowing what we're going to be doing.
Yes.
We have a total of 7 people from our editorial staff here, and we divide and conquer.
Oh.
with so many aisles, we assign everybody a certain number of aisles that we know they're going to see everything in those aisles.
Oh,
everybody.
That's organized.
It is.
Oh, my gosh. That's a lot of work. You must have, like, Elizabeth, do you, like, have a meeting first before you come?
Yeah, at least one meeting. Sometimes two.
Or ten.
We divide up the types of things that we do, too. So a couple people are making sure that they are finding all of the latest and greatest in fabrics that will soon be showing up on shop stores. And then other people are looking for the tools and brand new techniques and the latest in books and machines. And while others, or actually all of us, are always looking for that brand new designer that we would love to get a project from for one of our magazines. So we're always on the lookout, all of us, for everything, but we try to split up and have different specialized areas.
Yeah, so actually with the staff that you bring, do each of you have sort of one person's like more a tool girl? They really like tools. Does that work in your staff?
That does. Maria Charbonneau is our products editor, so she does favorite finds in American Patchwork and Quilting and hot stuff in Quilts and More. So she is in charge of gadgets, tools, all of that fun stuff.
Neat. So let's sort of talk about the products, like, what is out there, like fabric. What did you find in fabric, Jill?
Fabric is fabulous. I think that you as quilters are going to be so excited to see all the new things that will be coming into your favorite quilt store. The colors are yummy, delicious, wonderful, mouth-watering colors.
Oh, my gosh. She's writing she's writing content here. Let's get this down. Oh, my gosh.
It sounds like food, I think.
Do you want to talk about the great textures first?
Yeah. I think we've seen so many different textures, and that makes the fabrics even more yummy. So,
now, tell people what you mean by texture, they may not...
Well, if you think about just your normal quilting, not normal, but quilting cotton.
Right, regular quilting cotton.
So, most of the texture to your eyes comes from the visual print that's on them. Mm-hmm. But we've seen some more developments, and we've seen a lot of linen at this market.
Ooh.
Or a linen-cotton blend, and actually some fabrics that are printed to look like those interesting weaves. And, there's always Japanese taupe fabrics that have those great weaves, whether they're twills or just a fun plaid. We've also seen cotton canvas and cotton velvet.
Ooh.
So, and just some people including home deck fabrics in their quilts. So that's just a fun way to get little more bits of texture into projects.
How about the vinyl? I was just curious because they've been covering, off the bolt now.
Yeah.
Do you see some of that still?
We
this
do.
Time?
We see a lot of the laminate.
Yeah, laminate.
And we're finding it's even more kind of supple, and you know, it's looking better and better. So whether it's that or the iron-on vinyl, mm-hmm. people can make all these fun projects that are weather resistant. So mm-hmm. I've seen raincoats and of course handbags.
Raincoats are nice.
Yes,
because
umbrellas.
Now that it's
even umbrellas. Yeah. You can make those using an umbrella kit. It's very exciting to see all of the fun ways that people are using the laminates.
Neat, neat, neat.
And in the color story, wow.
Yeah.
Gray is a new neutral.
Gray.
Gray.
And you're wearing gray today.
I am. You can see this.
Yes, yeah.
But gray is neutral, and we're seeing everything from charcoal to taupey grays to light grays. It's just one of the neutrals that looks great with all kinds of color.
Yeah, have you seen like gray paired with a particular color more often, or
gray and citron?
Ooh.
Oh, yummy. That citron is that wonderful yellow green.
Yes, yes,
that
yes.
is still strong.
Yeah.
Gray and pink, gray and orange, gray with other neutrals for a mm-hmm. really livable look.
Yeah.
Ooh. Gray and purple too. I mean, that I'm wearing purple today.
Yes, you are.
And how trendy, because we saw purple in everything.
Oh, really?
Come on, strong. Orchid.
Yeah.
Light lavenders. Yeah. Deep, rich, majestic purples.
Ooh, I want to go sew.
Yes. And,
of course.
Yes. And one, the orange family, mm-hmm. but not necessarily that bright orange like the fruit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sorbet and apricot and peach and tangerine.
Some booth had like ice cream in it.
Yes.
Like it looked like an ice cream display. I didn't get in there real close.
She actually was handing out or sorbet. You could have a little ice cream cone. So.
Oh my gosh. And it was like a little counter. And it was so cute.
Adorable.
Neat.
Black and white.
Yeah.
Strong. Oh, wonderful black and white prints.
Yeah.
Black and white, just black and white, black mm-hmm. and white with a color, red, mm-hmm. red, orange.
Yeah, I saw one whole booth, everything in it was black and white and with red accents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that designer did all their products in that same colorway, which is really stunning. You know, you stop and you're like, wow, cool.
Chalk white everywhere. Solid white
mm-hmm.
used with prints mm-hmm. makes those lively prints just resonate.
Yeah. Neat, 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 neat. So, you know, there's other kinds of things that people do besides actual quilting that's out there. So the market has a lot of those sort of accessory type of crafts, like embroidery and stitcheries. What did you guys notice about that?
Well, first of all, I mean, we noticed, that embroidery and stitchery, mostly by hand, is just mm-hmm. huge. So whether it's actually in those fun objects like journal covers and pin cushions, or a lot more people, I think, are combining it in quilts. So whether they'll do some of the blocks, embroider them before or after quilting, mm-hmm, or using mm-hmm. embroidery floss or pearl cotton as the big stitch quilting.
Yes,
so that's a fun way to hand quilt your own projects if you may not be comfortable with the size of your with the size of your quilting stitch. Do it big on purpose. So mm-hmm, I've seen a lot mm-hmm. more of that, and even cross stitch. I've seen more cross stitch at this market than in a long time. Cute motifs, mm-hmm, so it's pretty much introducing a new generation to cross stitch and including that in some of the fun little bags and totes and pincushions and
like smaller projects with that.
Yeah.
Just additions.
Things that can be done in an evening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah, we don't have much time. We've got to finish that up.
That's right.
Yeah. Do you guys look at machine embroidery at all?
We look at machine embroidery, and we look at all kinds of machines.
Yeah.
We look at sewing machines, long arm quilting machines, and they are getting so user friendly. It's mm-hmm. really exciting. No longer do you have to hunt for that manual.
Yeah.
What drawer did I put that in? That's built right into the machine, right on the screen. Tells you everything from how to thread it to get that program set up to do that one fancy stitch you want to do.
Neat. I think I need to upgrade, maybe.
Yeah, in today's iPad, tablet-driven world, I mean, we're used to touch screen, so it's mm-hmm. like, I just want to be able to do that as easily as I can mm-hmm. use all the rest of my technology.
Wow. So, you know, when we're looking at things out there, they're, you know, fabric or even designers who do applique and stuff, you know, they have, is there like a trend for a certain shapes? Did you see like, you know, snails this time or anything, you know, like crazy? You know, everyone's like, one year there were watermelons. I don't know if you remember that year, but one year, like every other designer had something with watermelons and fabric with watermelons. What was going on in the shape area or motif area?
We saw, I think we all saw, a walk through the woodlands. We saw critters of all kinds.
Oh.
Birds are still strong.
Yeah.
And owls are still strong.
Ooh.
We saw ladybugs sneaking in here. Even sly little foxes sneaking around. Cute as can be. Frogs, turtles. Circus animals seem to be coming on.
Oh.
Giraffes and elephants.
Okay. Yeah.
Elephants are everywhere.
Yes.
In fabrics especially, but quilts as well.
And these motifs can be anywhere from whimsical to very lifelike.
Mm-hmm,
and so
mm-hmm.
the animals would be interpreted in skins, in patterns that you might see printed on
right,
cloth.
Right. I've seen a lot of like the more realistic animals done with batiks,
mm-hmm.
you know, with that nice texture so they look like they have fur and things, so a more realistic look.
Mm-hmm.
Neat, neat, neat.
A lot of fruit prints.
Fruit.
Cute fruit pins. Do you remember last year was the, Pat, that last year was the year of the cupcake?
Yes.
We had one manufacturer tell us if last year was the year of the cupcake, then this is going to be the year of the pie.
The pie.
And my prediction will be it'll be cherry pie.
Yes. I like cherry pie. I like cherry pie a lot. It's my favorite one.
That's well, it'll be a good year for you.
It will be a good year.
Beautiful florals, too. Everything from whimsical little mm-hmm. 70s retro flowers mm-hmm. to full-blown botanicals. Roses and poppies and daisies and peonies.
Yeah, I saw some fabrics that had, they almost look like they came out of old books, you know, where they did the old botanicals
and
but then freshened up and like the bird might have a crown on instead, you know, which wouldn't have been probably in the originals.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked that. It was sort of new take on it. What we're going to do is I'm going to go ahead and we'll take a break because I know we have more cool topics and things that you looked at, but we'll take a commercial break and then everybody come back with Jill and Elizabeth and I, and we're going to talk some more topics. So you're listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. Come right back.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to Facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Make your project so much easier with great products from Sewline. Sewline offers a variety of innovative quality marking tools for quilters and sewers. The Sewline Trio is a 3-in-1 fabric marking tool that allows you to quickly change from black ceramic to white lead to a blank stylus with just one click. Both leads are water-soluble and designed to provide a crisp, clean line that's easy to erase. To purchase Sewline products, visit your local quilt shop.
Beautiful computerized quilting is simple with the HQ Pro Stitcher. Every design becomes a perfect fit for your quilt with the HQ Pro Stitcher. You can resize, repeat, rotate, and crop right on the new 10-inch color touchscreen. No computer needed. The HQ Pro Stitcher works with all HQ Stitch regulated machines and has a quick setup that allows you to get quilting in no time.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm here with the editors from American Patchwork and Quilting Magazines, Jill Mead and Elizabeth Beasy, and we're talking about what we found in Salt Lake City at the show, what kind of new trends and things that are out there. So, Elizabeth, tell us a little bit more about the sort of shapes and things that you saw on the floor.
Well, we saw, I think, first of all, a lot of curves. So, you know, so many pieces in quilting are rectangles and triangles and squares. So I think a lot of the fabrics that we're seeing is kind of in direct contrast to that. So a lot of circles and a lot of, there's a shape kind of called an ogee. It's kind of a bell or an onion shape.
Okay.
And we're seeing that in so many fabrics, whether it's exaggerated and super wide or tall and skinny, but it's just a very soothing kind of maybe Turkish bazaar feeling.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. Yeah, the bazaar. Yeah.
And I've even seen that in a couple quilting patterns, so not just in the fabrics. And also, you know, getting back to the circles, of course, polka dots are always hot.
So I love polka dots.
I know.
You too.
But either in the, you know, so in the fabrics or as appliques or even, you know, curved piecing, actually pieced in. And I think there are also a lot of hexagons. So we've seen different patterns that incorporate those, and sometimes they're normal, traditional size.
Right.
For grandmother's flower garden type things. But then also I've seen supersized hexagons and some great tools out there to make it easy to do those.
Ah.
So it's made some fun quilts. And speaking of quilt patterns, I think there's still everything out there, you know, for everyone. There's simple shapes that still look great, especially because of the fabric that we have. But I also have seen some great challenging projects for those of us that really want something complex or an heirloom that we want to work on. So I don't think there's a shortage of patterns for anybody.
That's right. If people haven't found what they wanted, they just need to keep looking a little
bit.
Yeah, it's out there.
Whether in single copy patterns or books or magazines or of that.
How about the organics? You know, what are you seeing out there for organics?
We're seeing growing. Yeah. The quilting industry is definitely going green. We see more yard goods printed on organic cottons. We see more natural fibers altogether with the linen that Elizabeth mentioned earlier, bamboo and silk in bats and in yardage. The blends and the batting, of course, with the organic, eco-friendly battings that people are having such great success with using, and they are earth-friendly.
Or they also use up things that otherwise would have been wasted, using up pop bottles, I think, to make a batting.
I heard about that one. Is that the one that might be a green color? Or somebody?
I think it is.
Yeah, I think somebody told me there was a batting that was a green color, and it was the soda bottle one.
Maybe they used a bunch of Mountain Dew.
Yeah, that would be it.
It'll be fun to try those out.
Yeah, I haven't tried them either. I have to get some samples, you know, because at the trade show here, they give out little samples of things so that all of us can try it and see what it's like. Cool. So how about in the tool area? You finding newer gadgets this time or a few things?
You know, there are always great rulers that are coming out, and you'd think that we have enough of them, but there have been some great new inventions in terms of some are working with charm squares, and they just helping you cut those up to make some interesting designs. We've seen lots of things for helping people, miter borders and miter bindings, and just quite a few of those. So taking something that scares us or scares some, you know, quilters and making it easy. There's a lot of that. Take the math out of the equation, basically. So if a ruler can help you do that, I say great. So
I heard that too from somebody else. I forget whether it was a ruler product or something, but they said they took the math out of it for you. You just follow it, and it's all, you know, all there.
So your quilting time is all fun.
That's right. You got to have the fun. So what else is would you see in the trends?
And well, in we saw other kinds of fabric. We saw lots and lots of solids in yummy ranges of colors. And I think the modern quilt guild movement has certainly helped to bring solids back into mm-hmm. everyone's vocabulary. They're not necessarily used in modern quilts all the time.
Right.
There's a great place for them in traditional and everything in between.
Mm-hmm.
But the range of colors is wonderful.
That's what's really up the ante with them, is that they didn't have the color variety in the past,
yeah.
I think.
And now there are hundreds of choices. So.
And a lot of companies are making it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the same with the tone-on-tones and the blenders.
Mm-hmm.
Huge range of colors.
Mm-hmm.
That are just beautiful to suit any style.
Mm-hmm.
Reproduction fabrics, strong.
Mm-hmm.
Still wonderful new collections of Civil Wars, 30s, 40s, retro, 50s, 60s, mm-hmm. fun fabrics.
So, you know, baby fabric, I'm always fascinated. I have a new niece, and, you know, so I was looking at baby fabric this time. What did you see, Elizabeth, out there?
I think there's everything from upscale baby chic
Ooh.
Collections, so whether fabric or yeah. patterns for an entire crib room ensemble,
yeah.
Over to what we were talking about before with all the critters and jungle and woodland creatures. There are a lot of great boy collections. For, you know, for little boys.
Yeah.
So both baby and toddler collections. So just fun new things. We are seeing lots and lots of alphabets. I don't know, in fabric, mm-hmm. in patterns for quilts,
mm-hmm.
on baby blocks, you know, stuffed baby blocks. We've just seen from A to Z, basically, about the alphabet. So that's been really fun. And something I just saw was 3D fabrics, actually.
Oh, wow.
And those, for little boys, I think
yeah.
there's a space collection, outer space collection, and you use 3D glasses to look at
oh,
it.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
It, just, it comes out toward you. So, I mean, what will they think of next? But it's just all over the board. Whatever kind of look you want, I think you can get it for your baby.
Awesome. Awesome. I know I really do want to make, I have several baby quilts now on my to-do list. So I'm going to be out there looking, but I like that. So, you know, one of the big things that American Patchwork and Quilting does here at the trade shows is announce and promote the Quilt Sampler magazine, which is, features stores. And I'd like, you know, maybe Elizabeth, you can tell people what that issue is in case they're not familiar with it.
Sure. Quilt Sampler is a magazine that we do twice a year now, and it features 10 fabulous shops across the country and in Canada, and we've also started featuring one encore shop, one that we visited in the past and that we've just revisited again. So we go to all 10 shops and photograph the staff, the owners, all of the walls, all of the great things, the fabric bundles, and we put that in several pages in the magazine and try to create kind of a virtual shop hop. Ooh. So whether this inspires you to go travel to the shops or just to look through those pages and feel like you're there, that's what we try to do. And we also have an exclusive project from each shop in the issue.
Yeah. And this time you gave out, you showed all the quilts, and Jennifer Keltner, you know, introduced all the shops that were here. And so, you know, how do people use this magazine? What have you heard, Jill, like over time? You know, how are people using the Quilt Sampler?
They use it as a shopping guide. They love to see everything
yeah.
that each shop has and its own flavor.
Yeah.
They use it as a travel guide. They'll take it along and plan their vacation around it. Maybe they can't get there this year, but it's on their wish list of places to go.
Yeah.
We have heard from past shops that whenever a new issue comes out, people will pull out their collection of the old issues and maybe plan a trip around that so they can go to all the past shops and the new shops. So it's really fun.
How many years has it been out? Do you have a rough guess? five, ten?
I think 1994 was the very first issue.
Oh, okay. Okay,
and
so
we did ten. We did one issue a year until 2004.
Okay.
And then we started doing two issues a year. So I think we've done, I think we're on our 26th issue right now of Quilt Sampler.
Oh, my gosh. I know that as the quilter, you know, in the past, when that issue came out, it was the excitement level. You know, it was like, who is in it? What kind of shops? What do they have? You know, we would go shopping, like you said, we would go shopping in the magazine and then call them up or go to their website.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, holy cow, it is such fun. And it was really great fun to meet it. A lot of the shops came this market, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah, we had, I think, at least 15 of the 22 shops that we were honoring. We announced both the spring summer 2011 mm-hmm. shops and then the ones who have just found out that they're in it, the fall winter 2011 shops. So it's always fun just to, and for all the shops to meet each other and know mm-hmm. who's in their issue and connect.
Because it's sort of a secret, you know.
It is.
Yeah.
We try to keep it a secret and build that excitement mm-hmm. until at least a few months before the on sale date of the magazine.
And as a passionate quilter myself, I find it amazing that I know most of those shops are here at this trade show mm-hmm. making their purchases for the next season, but yet each one of them, as you see in Quilt Sampler, has its own flavor.
Yeah.
They're all buying from the same pool, but the
right.
way they put it together,
mm-hmm.
is amazing, and they all have their own personalities.
Well, I was so lucky to be able to interview two of the shops that are in the current Quilt Sampler and to have them on as the next guests.
Wonderful.
Yes,
so exciting. So it would, and I just love the fact that I got to chat with them about their store and about their style, like
mm-hmm.
you said, their style. So, you know, I think we should go to another little break, and then I'm going to bring on the first shop owner. So this has been so much fun to be able to hear from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine how they see the current quilting trends. Jill Mead and Elizabeth Beasy, thank you so much for stepping out of your work zone for a few minutes and coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having us.
Fun to be with you, Pat. Thanks.
Yep. I'm going to be chatting with you more, I am sure. So everybody come back and listen to some more American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Pam.
What have you been quilting lately?
I just finished a Lone Star quilt for my niece's wedding.
Oh, I can't wait to see the finished quilt.
Me too. I have so many finished tops that I'm really considering looking into a long arm of my own. Don't you have a handy quilter? I've heard good things about them.
I do, and I love my HQ18 Avante. No more UFOs at my house. I have so much space to work with, and it's so fast. The stitch regulator gives me perfect stitches every time, and the precision glide track systems makes quilting so smooth I could quilt all day.
I would love that. I've been looking at the HQ24 Fusion.
Oh, I think that would be perfect for you. It's got all the great HQ features of the Avante with more throat space. You'll love working with Handy Quilter. Their customer service is top-notch.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Moda Fabrics brings you the hottest new fabric lines for quilting. We work with more than 40 of your favorite independent designers, as well as in-house design staff to make sure you have the latest and greatest in fabrics. We're committed to creating high-quality products and providing excellent customer service. And for 35 years, Moda Fabrics has proudly supported the independent quilt shop. Visit your local independent quilt shop to see what's new from Moda Fabrics.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts and More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, and I'm Pat Sloan. I'm here at the spring trade show called Quilt Market in Salt Lake City, and I'm interviewing all kinds of really fabulous people. And the best part is we just have a brand new quilt sampler issue, spring 2011, and several of the shop owners are here because it's the trade show. And I am lucky enough to have Becky Weber from Quilted Threads, who is in the issue with me, and we're going to chat a little bit about quilting, and she has got some amazing background as a quilter. Thanks for being here, Becky.
Oh, you're welcome.
So exciting to meet you.
Thank you.
I love doing this kind of thing at the show where we get to sit in person instead of on the phone. So
makes a big difference.
Yeah, it does. It does. We found a nice little quiet little spot, but you might hear, you know, people coming in because we are at the show and it's really busy. So I got to see the preview of your store, and it is stunning. Your store is so stunning. I just want to come visit you, like, tomorrow.
Well, thanks. I wish you would.
Oh, my gosh. Tell everybody where your store is located.
Well, we're located in central New Hampshire, just west of Concord, which is the capital of New Hampshire, about 20 minutes west of Concord. So.
Ah, okay. So everybody get your map out.
Small New England town, little college town. So.
And you have a website, and your website is quiltedthreads.com.
Yep.
And everybody has to go there and look. It's just gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. So tell me, we were just talking earlier, and you were telling me how you got into quilting. And I think that's fascinating. Could you tell me again, like, what made you start to quilt, and where were you at?
Well, I'd always been a sewer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm primarily garment sewing. Moved to California in 86, and I had a six-month-old and needed to do some sewing, and I would throw her in a backpack and travel around the San Francisco Bay Area just exploring all the fabric resources, and stumbled on a little quilt shop in the East Bay. And I wasn't sure that it was something that was going to interest me.
Yeah.
Because I don't really like to do repetitive things. I would never make the same garment twice. But anyway, the long and short of it was I needed to do something to get out of the house, and decided to take a class, and kind of the rest was history. But just there were just a lot of kind of exploding resources at the time in the Bay Area.
Yeah, you were actually telling me that you got to take workshops with people like Roberta Horton, who at the time was just starting her own career.
She was. She, you know, I took a class in her plaids and stripes, which she subsequently wrote a book about.
Yes,
that.
That's a fabulous
took
book.
Her Amish Adventure class. So she was one of my first teachers, and her sister, Mary Mashuda.
Yeah.
And there were just a lot of great exhibits in the area and shows.
And you didn't know at the time what all that would become later as far as building quilting, really.
Yeah, it really has been kind of retrospective. So looking back on it, I was really lucky to be there. Then there were just great fiber resources, and very kind of cutting edge, having moved from New England, which was very steeped in tradition, to an area where there was just explosive art and fabric and fiber. So it was really an exciting time to be there.
So eventually you went back to the East Coast, since your shop is there. So why did you decide to open a store?
Well, I've thought about that question.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things where sometimes you do things in life that you realize, well, you were well suited for it, but you don't quite know what propels you into that. And I think when I was in California, I was also quite interested in, I mean, this was a new world for me, and interested in why I liked certain stores more than others, and what the physical characteristics were of the environment, and also the personalities of the people there, and which ones created more nurturing environments, and which ones were more creative and stimulating, and, you know, how lighting impacted. Yeah. So, and I like buildings.
Yeah.
So it was just one of those things where I was processing a lot of information, and I thought at the time the business piece of it was almost as fascinating as the craft itself.
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved back to Boston, I actually put a business plan together in the 90s, and still had a young daughter, and we were living close to Boston, and, you know, it was really sort of the dollars. The cost of real estate in that area was really at its peak, and I just put the plan aside.
Yeah, yeah.
So I never really thought I'd end up doing anything with it. And then there was an opportunity in New Hampshire. I started out as kind of the financial investor in this little business, and ultimately took full ownership of it. So it was one of those things where I was then approached to really become actively involved, and I had the plan ready, and And it was timing and interest and sort of opportunity, that convergence of all of those elements that just, it was like, yeah, I got to do this.
Yeah.
So I did. And here I am.
Amazing. Now, your actual store, you have some history to the building that you're in, you know, some background to how it, and you didn't start in that particular building.
No, we started in a little tiny, almost a shed.
A shed. Oh, my gosh.
In the winters, yeah. The floors were so cold we could hardly keep our feet warm. And my intention was to look for a piece of property that I could acquire. And ultimately found one right in the downtown area.
So you to actually purchase
the building. Yep.
Ah.
It's an 1860 New England farmhouse. Mm. And in New England farmhouses, barns are attached because they just moved from one structure to another in the winter.
It's cold there.
It was cold, yeah. And, of course, it was, like, zoned perfectly for commercial development as well as residential. So we just converted it, totally gutted it, put in all new systems, and turned it into a quilt shop. And then a year and a half later, we outgrew that fast. And
It
was fast.
Yeah.
And then took a big leap to add a big... kind of a wing to it with a gallery space, which you see in some of the pictures
magazines. So you have a two-story, the store is two stories.
The original house is two stories. Mm-hmm. It's the addition is now built on a hill, actually, so we have three finished floors. We haven't developed yet the lowest level. We use it for workroom, but the main floor is for retail, and then we have an open gallery around the floor where we hang and display a lot of quilts and big classrooms and stuff upstairs. So,
it's really a good place. You have your from the photos and everything that you're carrying in your store. Mm-hmm. I can really sense like a personality and a feel for you have a style. When you go shopping for your store, tell us a little bit because I think it's fascinating to everybody. It's fascinating to me. Like, how do people go shopping for their store? You know, is it you? Is it your customers? You know, what approach do you use?
Well, that's constantly evolving for me, I guess. I'm learning a lot as I go. You'd think that in 8 or 9 years I'd have figured all of that out. It's very easy to buy the things you love.
Yes.
It's not so easy to think about balancing what you have in a store. And I am a store that sort of, in New England, you kind of have to become a point of destination. So I have to satisfy a lot of different tastes when people travel to the store. So I have to try to acquire merchandise that may not necessarily touch me, but I still have to apply some standard to it to
make sure
it...
Because it's something that doesn't speak to you on a personal level, but you know your customers who are coming in, you know people, like you have maybe in mind somebody.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like Jill's going to really love this.
Yeah, or in a type of customer, think. And also then the sort of pockets of customers that I'd like to grow and develop. And New Hampshire isn't... My daughter lives in outside of Boston, which is very, you know, urban and young and hip and happening. And New Hampshire isn't necessarily the kind of place where a lot of those demographics thrive. But I'd still like to develop those resources a little bit more. So I'm, you know, just constantly, but trying to find products that still stand up to kind of aesthetic standards that I have for things.
Well, I just love a lot of the models that you have in your store that you know, I haven't been able to visit your store physically, but in the article, because they are fresher. They had a fresher look to me without being real saying, you know, I'm a certain modern quilter. I'm a certain style of fabric. It had a nice, fresh, light feel.
Part of it is the room, I think, that you also, with the gallery, the lights the light's fabulous in there.
Yeah.
But we, you know, we've got our sort of traditional area that satisfies the needs of people who are really steeped in kind of reproduction and history.
Reproduction, yes, absolutely.
And then kind of a contemporary, light, bright. We've got great, you know, kind of baby... children. Then the thing that's most special to me are we've got a big room of that I've grown over the years of the imported Japanese taupes, which I think really distinguishes our store too.
Do you carry several lines of those?
Started with one and then have just kind of grown. And we have maybe 500 to 600 bolts in this particular space that change. And so it's
good selection then.
It is a good selection.
Yeah, I would say that's a hard fabric to necessarily find quantity in a store.
It is, and that's been my experience. Yeah. But it helped sort of underscore people's reasons for coming to the store too. Mm-hmm. That people travel because they can't mm-hmm. get this fabric in many places. And it's just another niche in our store too.
Yeah.
But I love texture, and there's just nothing quite like some of these fabrics that come from Japan, the yarn dyes particularly. So,
and you like the taupe family, you know, is there also like a blue family of the Japanese?
Yeah, I think taupe people associate with a specific color, but you know, my understanding from reading the books by the authors that, mm-hmm. that work in this particular genre, I guess, of fabric, is that it's more, the colors have been grayed mm-hmm. and shaded down, so you still get some vibrant colors. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got reds and pinks and purples and greens and grays and blues, and but there's definitely a look about the color. They don't necessarily blend with other fabrics in the store, so I tend to keep things
keep them together,
and they really, but they make everything look quite special.
They do. They're amazing fabrics. I love going into a booth at a show that's all the Japanese fabrics. It's just like, oh, look at that.
Yeah, so we can go from a batik, the same pattern, and then interpret it in taupes, and you just get a totally different sense of it. So
tell us about the gallery space. Well, how are you managing that? Is it are they for sale, or
no,
is it just for show?
They're pretty much samples. Mm-hmm. People ask all the time if they can buy samples. I don't think there's a quilt shop alive that hasn't been approached about that. But they're really pretty important to us.
Yeah.
So, but we change things. A lot of them customers loan to us if we're doing a class, or that we have some special thing that's happening, and we'll have quilts that relate to that. And we, you know, or just samples and patterns that we've created samples from patterns and fabric lines in the store.
And so you just sort of keep those all in the one place
and
then?
Changing. We have samples all through the store,
too.
Yeah.
But you have a nice area for the gallery to really showcase the...
Yeah, I find in this store, you know, I've got to gather and swag, and you don't often get to just hang a quilt full open and let people see the whole thing, and it's nice to be able to do that. So,
well, tell us about your logo, because I just love it. Did you design it?
I approved it.
I
worked with some artists on that. Yeah, just because I don't really, you know, I'm not, I needed something kind of contemporary, fresh, just simple. I wanted something simple that didn't, like, I know it speaks contemporary, and we have a lot more than just contemporary in the store, but I just wanted something kind of timeless. And the cue, I just connected with it as we started playing with things. And
and it's a loop of thread.
It's a coil of thread, and it's got a little cue tail on the end of it for quilted threads.
It's so clever.
So, thank
it's you. It's so clever.
It's fun.
Yeah, it is just so clever. So Do you have a quilt that you want to make that you haven't made yet?
I knew you. Well, you got to hear that question.
You knew I was going to ask you.
I would just like to do more sewing. This is the shop owner's lament, is that, you know, these
any
things.
Any quilt.
Anything. Yeah, just give me some fabric and some time. That would be the best thing right now. I have to say, if I had a weekend, I would probably pull some of my my taupe fabrics that I don't take much home anymore.
Yeah.
But there are fabrics from those groups that come in that I just think, you know, in another 15 or 20 years, they're timeless, and I'm going to want to work with them, and I would probably play with them for a day.
Yeah.
And that's about as much time as I would have, so... But
well, Becky, this has been absolutely wonderful talk to you about your store.
Fun.
You know, thank you so much for having a fabulous store in the Quilt Sampler. We're in the spring issue of 2011.
Yep.
And this is Becky Weber with QuiltedThreads.com out of New Hampshire. You can visit our website. And we are here at Salt Lake City to the spring market. For American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, I'm Pat Sloan. Come back after the commercial.
Win free stuff! Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
Come see what's cooking at the Moda Bake Shop website. You'll find free recipes for using the wide range of Moda pre-cuts from your favorite designers and quilt shops. We've got ideas for using a variety of ingredients, including honey buns, jelly rolls, layer cakes, charm packs, and more. Instructions with detailed step-by-step photos guide you through the recipes and the fun. New projects served up daily at modabakeshop.com.
Do you love free motion quilting but struggle to fit your project in a small throat space? The HQ Suite 16 is designed for you. With 16 inches of throat space, there is room to work on even a king size quilt. The smooth surface of our height adjustable table allows your project to glide under the needle with ease. The HQ Suite 16 is built with powerful HQ technology designed to handle all your quilting projects.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
This is Pat Sloan. I'm here for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, and we're still at Quilt Market in Salt Lake City. This is the spring market where all the quilt shops come and all the suppliers come, and we're doing lots of interviews for the show with shop owners and, you know, designers, because the whole group is here. So for this segment, I have a fabulous shop owner with a fabulous store, and she is an encore store for Quilt Sampler issue, the spring issue of 2011. So this is very, very exciting to have the Encore stores. And I have Gail Abelow from Back Porch Fabrics with me. Hi, Gail.
Hello, Pat.
This is so exciting.
Oh, I'm absolutely thrilled. It is the most incredible thing to be chosen once and then to have them come back again for the Encore was unbelievable.
Now, how many years? Now, tell us first where your store is.
Okay, my store is located in Pacific Grove, California, which is a mile from the Monterey Bay Aquarium that is in Monterey.
Yeah. Okay.
We're right next door to Pebble Beach and Carmel. So
ooh,
we're in the middle part on the coast of California.
Yeah.
And a mile from the Asilomar Quilting Conference grounds.
That's a fabulous event. Oh my gosh. And that's a very touristy area, I would think.
Oh, very much so. Yes.
A lot of travelers come through. Now, how long was it since your first time in the quilt sample?
It was in 2003.
Okay.
So it's been a few years, yes.
Now, first, I'm just really curious because, you know, I have been familiar with you. You're also a pattern designer.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so your patterns were out there. You know, everybody has seen your clothing patterns. They're wonderful. But tell me, how did you decide to open a quilt store?
Well, the pattern business grew phenomenally. Mm-hmm. My husband and I were able to move back to California from Spokane, Washington with these patterns. And I got to the point where I really needed to move the business out of our home in the warehouse. I needed employees.
Yeah.
And my mother had a very early quilt store in San Juan Bautista, California.
Really?
Yes. Started in 1970, a little country gift shop that about the bicentennial.
Yeah.
She added fabric.
Oh my gosh.
It was so much fun to go and play quilts with her at the time. So So it was like, well, let's just open up a quilt store and do both, like any other woman would.
Oh, yes, of course. You're a quilter, right?
You can do it all. Yes.
Now, are you in the same location that you started?
No, I'm not. That was more inland near San Jose kind of area.
Oh, okay.
Down from there. A little mission town that was also a little touristy town.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yes.
And did you just outgrow that space and then move to where you are now, or?
Oh, no. The space I'm in now with my store is the same one we've
been. Oh, okay.
I'm going back to my mother's shop.
Your mother's shop was in the other place.
Yes,
in the 70s.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So tell us, you know, your store, coming, you know, seeing it in the sampler, it is so beautifully set up. I mean, it is just wonderful. Just walk us through what you have in the store.
Okay. And it's a really interesting building. It was the warehouse for Holman's department store, which back in the day when there were wonderful department stores in each different community.
Yeah.
And one of my customers, Mr. Holman, was her grandfather, and at Christmas time he would set up his model train set up for all the children in town to come see in our store location.
Oh my gosh.
You know, all these great little
things. What a
things.
Great
so,
story.
Yeah, so, but the store location is actually an L-shaped store. And okay. So as you walk in, I didn't want people to just walk in and see everything.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
So I've kind of broken up the normal type of way of walking into a store.
Okay.
Plus, two sides are solid windows.
Wow.
Fabulous natural light.
Yeah.
Great big high ceilings.
Yeah.
But, you know, I had to do something with the shelving to do that type of thing.
Yeah.
So the rest of the L shape is our classroom gallery space.
Neat.
And, yeah. And
neat.
So,
well, so what kind of quilts do you put in the gallery space?
Well, every 2 months we have a new show, and this is 15 years now.
Oh, my gosh.
So we do
yeah.
6 shows a year. My mother still bakes all the cookies for them for the little receptions. But we just finished a show of Gwen Marston's Liberated Quilts and Solids. It was incredible.
Oh, cool.
And currently the quilts on display are made by 30 different people in the area to help raise money for the light houses in Pacific Grove and Big Sur.
Wow.
And so each person yeah. has done their own interpretation of the lighthouse.
And to raise money now, you know, to sort of go on a little
yes,
tangent
yes.
there, are you selling raffle tickets
yes, they're
for that?
Selling raffle tickets.
Oh, okay.
Chances to win all of these quilts,
yeah.
so they've all been donated. And then they'll also be displayed at the lighthouses. So.
Yeah. And are the now I'm still curious, are those quilts lighthouses?
Some are. The one that I did, I had read a wonderful story that back in the late 1800s, mm-hmm. someone in Pebble Beach was trying to raise buffalo for meat.
Oh.
Well, it didn't work out.
Yeah,
you can't
yeah.
control buffalo very well. But the buffalo would get out, and they would swim across the bay, come up near Pacific Grove, and wander around in town and buy the lighthouses. So I thought, oh, it's a great story. So
yeah.
I ended up doing this kind of Bargello thing with a little buffalo in it
yeah.
and a lighthouse in the distance. So.
That is, then you put the story on the label.
Oh, yes,
yeah,
of
course.
Oh, yes.
yes.
It's just, you know, and people, how come there's a buffalo
oh,
there?
Yeah.
Well, then that buffalo herd, they captured all of them. They took them up to Golden Gate Park in San Francisco,
yeah.
and those buffalo are the beginnings of the herd that is still in San Francisco and Golden Gate Park.
Yeah, incredible.
You know, just really fun stuff.
I love those sort of connecty things. You know, one
too.
Thing leads to the next,
yeah.
and then it ends up on a quilt.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
there you go. There you go. Now, your store, you have a very unique sense of color and style, and you, that's reflected in what you buy for your store and the type of models you make. How do you go about looking at mixing? Because you're sort of a master mixer of fabrics.
Well, personally, I don't like to use just one line of fabric in
mm-hmm.
a quilt. And so what I normally do when I'm buying, like when I'm here at market right now, I'm looking for good color and design that will play well with other people's fabrics.
Uh-huh.
And it takes a lot of digging.
Yeah.
The other thing I've realized through the years is that we get so many tourists in our store. Some of the fabulous lines that I like, they've already bought that in their hometown.
Uh-huh.
So I need to find things that are unusual so that every people constantly walk in the store and say, I've never seen fabric like this before.
Yes.
Which is so cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what is one piece that you might have right now in your store that's really unique that you found? Do you have something of that's maybe more customers are coming in saying, wow, I haven't seen
yeah.
that.
It's more like the groupings of things,
oh, okay.
Pat, and I think the way we're putting things together
mm-hmm.
Than just a particular piece
uh-huh.
of fabric. Because
uh-huh.
we've just finished 4 sessions of quilters at Asilomar. And
okay.
so a lot of these very unique fabrics they took home with them. It was
yeah.
wonderful.
Yeah. Good shopping at,
yeah.
when Asilomar comes in. Yes, yes, yes. So what have you now that your store has been viewed again for a second time,
yes.
several years later, what kind of changes have you personally, I'm sure you reflected on, wow, what has
yeah.
changed? What
I think one of the things recently that I've really noticed is that I'm selling a lot of solid fabric. About 3 years ago, a really
mm-hmm.
good rep came in. She showed me a color card. I had black and white and muslin.
Yeah.
And then a lot of Moda marbles because they went with the more contemporary
right.
fabrics. And this rep showed me this color card and it was like, wow, that looks fresh and new and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so I have been stocking a lot of solids. It fit in with the show of Gwen's. It is
mm-hmm.
selling really, really well. So that's been a new trend.
Now, with the solids, I'm
yes.
curious, in your particular store,
yes.
are you doing more clear color solids or the dusties, or is it all over the board?
I would think kind of across the palette. We tend to be clear because we're on the coast of California,
mm-hmm.
and the lighting there just lends itself to clearer colors.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, they're beautiful solids.
And I'm
out there.
Starting personally to put solids and prints back together, which I haven't done in quite a while.
Right, right. I did that on my very first quilt, and
mm-hmm.
the shop recommended it, and I could not understand why I would want to put solid navy in there.
Yes.
You know, and it did work in my in my sampler, but I think it's interesting. There is a wave of that.
Yes.
You see a lot of it with, it goes with, well, it goes with everything, doesn't
yeah.
it?
And with so many really multicolored prints and the things that have so much design going on, the solids really help break it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's working a little better, I think, so.
Cool, yeah. Cool. Why don't you tell us about the project that you have in Quilt Sampler to go along with your store?
Oh, okay. The project as in Quilt Sampler comes from this once-a-month Saturday demo day that I do.
Hmm.
And I found that I wasn't sewing very much,
mm-hmm.
personally, because you get so involved in the store.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, if I make myself once a month create a project for this Saturday demo,
mm-hmm.
then I'll start sewing again. And this has been about 5 or 6 years now.
Oh.
And I wanted to do more than just a block a month. I
yeah.
wanted a whole quilt, a whole project a month. You know, come on, let's really get going here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this was one where I had read the instructions. They were very brief instructions on Fab Shop computer network kind of a thing.
Right.
And
right.
so my husband does graphics, and we wrote up some directions and things. So then I added an extra little bit to it when I did the one here.
Yeah.
But it makes both placemats and a table topper.
Right, and it's a quick project.
It's a quick project, and it features the fabulous fabrics that are out right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, the piece that you made for the issue, it
yes.
has a beautiful, it's like an Asian...
Yes, that koi kind of fish
koi.
That is going through, yes.
Exciting, exciting.
Yeah. Wonderful
now,
fabrics.
I just realized some of our listeners might not know what Asilomar is.
Uh-huh.
Could you tell us?
Yes, Asilomar is a campground on the ocean created for the YWCA in the 1800s. Julia Morgan, first woman architect, designed
Ooh.
Most of the buildings. They are still there.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a. It's you can walk down on the ocean on the boardwalks. There is a wonderful forest it's in.
Mm-hmm.
But Empty Spools has quilt seminars there.
Yeah, yeah.
Four or five times a year. You spend the entire week with one teacher.
Yeah, that's a fabulous.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
yeah. And I have gone several times, including just recently. I took a whole week with Sue Benner. And it was, we were fusing fabrics
mm-hmm.
and sewing the landscape. I took all of these rejected hand-painted silk scarves from friends and fused
Ooh.
Them. The colors were gorgeous.
Wow. How did that silk work fusing? Was it too delicate?
Not a problem at all.
Not,
wonder,
wow.
wonder. Works great. Yeah, so.
See, we learn something new every
yes.
day.
And so I had a lot of fun playing with that.
Now everybody's going to go out and ask all their friends
yes.
for all the rejected scarves. So
oh,
they
yes, yes. You'll start looking at them all yeah. totally differently.
What are you not using that scarf for,
yeah,
are you?
Yeah, I could use that one.
We could take that one. So I always like to ask people, particularly shop owners, because
mm-hmm.
I know you often don't get to sew as much as, you know, maybe like the designers do, you
yes.
know. Now, do you have a quilt that you really want to make, something that maybe has been in your mind that you haven't had a chance to do yet?
Well, I have one I have to finish
oh.
when I get home. Would that count?
That would count.
That would count. A very good friend of mine has been the president of our local quilt guild for the last 2 years, and
mm-hmm.
this is the third time she's taken on this job, Jean Mills, which was wonderful. And so I told her if she would do that, I would design the raffle quilt for our guild.
Oh.
And so I got all of these things done, and it's mainly a star and a star using lots of K-facet fabrics, because
mm-hmm.
he grew up in Big Sur. He's a local
yes.
guy.
Yes, yes.
And he comes at Christmas time to see family.
Yeah.
And used his fabrics, but put a lot of cream and
oh,
off-whites and things
pretty.
With them. So we've got star and a star,
yeah.
and then rows of four patch blocks on point. So a lot of people could help make those.
Yes.
And then Jean wanted hand applique. So there are rectangular hand applique blocks of kind of fried egg flowers
yeah.
going out of his wonderful things.
Yeah.
I put out many more blocks than I thought I would get back, and all of them came back.
Oh, my gosh.
We're
how
going
exciting.
To have enough for this fabulous quilt plus an extra little small quilt to raffle off. So.
Cool. Now, could people contact you to buy a raffle ticket?
Yes, they could.
Yeah.
Yes. Back Porch Fabrics will be happy to sell them raffle tickets.
Yeah.
For this.
Good, good, good. Yeah, the website is backporchfabrics.com.
Correct.
Well, Gail, this has just been so exciting.
Thank you.
Have you here because, you know, I've known you for a long, long time. And and I think every quilter has made one of your patterns even at some point. So,
well, probably. We just redid the I Can't Believe It's a Sweatshirt pattern. Tracy Brookster is doing them for me now. We did with polka dots.
Oh.
And shot cottons. Oh, it came out just darling.
Oh, my gosh.
So you'll have to check out her booth when you're up and down the aisles.
I will. I absolutely will. So this is Gail Abalone from BackPorchFabrics.com and Encore Shop in Quilt Sampler Spring 2011. I thank you so much for being here, Gail.
Well, thank you. It's been a lot of fun today.
Good, good. Come back next week, and we're going to be talking antique quilts with Glenna Haley and Julie Henriksen, and maybe a bit more. You've been listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. Now head on over to allpeoplequilt.com for more tips, free patterns, techniques. We even have videos. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. We'll see you next week here at American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.